Hello and welcome to another episode of How Not to Make a Game. My name's Stuart Neal and joining me on this episode is Marina Diaz. Hi Marina.
Hi, how are you?
I'm not too bad. Thank you very much for doing this with me.
Thank you so much.
You are a games designer, a creator, and a speaker of games. Tell me more, a little bit more about yourself.
Well, I started in the games industry near 10 years ago now, in 2010. I started writing as a journalist for different media in my hometown, in Madrid, remotely for different magazines and websites around the country in Spain. Then I decided to take my first step in, like, as a game designer and game dev 2 years ago, started making my own games. And now then, the last year, I moved to the UK, to London, where I'm now, to study my MA on games design at Brunel University, London. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and then I'm a speaker for different events in Europe and in Spain. I've been this year traveling around the globe, going to different games events. And I'm also a Women in Games ambassador, an international Women in Games ambassador. And recently I joined the BAFTA crew in the 2019 cohort.
Very good.
So that's a little bit what I'm doing right now.
You also have down in your resume that you helped co-create the Terabee magazine?
Yeah.
A women-only video games magazine?
Yeah, I created that magazine. I'm the only founder of that magazine.
Oh, okay.
And obviously, the existence of that magazine couldn't be possible without all the women that joined us since the beginning and that still now managing with me the whole magazine. And we're still writing today, different articles, doing podcasts and different stuff. And I found that magazine because I thought that women in the video games industry in Spain hadn't enough voice. The industry didn't let us to raise our voices and to tell our experiences and to demonstrate that our value as gamers. I don't like the word gamer, but I'm going to use it now. So yeah, I founded that in 2017, and we're still writing today. So it's really impressive for me.
Yeah. Is it just a website magazine?
It is, but we're still working on the first issue, but it's really difficult. Mm-hmm. So it's taking us some time, but we are going to get there.
You're also a collaborator with FemDevs and Be My Human. Tell me a little bit more about them.
Yeah, well, FemDevs is an Spanish organization that helps women in games industry, not only game developers, but also women that are interested in taking the first steps in the games industry. Mm-hmm. I collaborated with them first as a regional manager because we are setting monthly meetups for women. Mm-hmm. But now obviously I'm not there in Madrid anymore, so I only can help from the distance in London. So now I'm supporting the main team. Mm-hmm. And to help in some tasks, but yeah. So and then Be My Human is an experimental showcase which took place on 2017 in Barcelona, and then we brought the event to Madrid because it was really important for us to show the public in Spain, because sometimes the Spanish video games industry tends to be a little bit closed, and it's really difficult to game developers to know the work that European game developers are doing, because we don't have sometimes foundation for attending events, and it's really difficult to us. So we brought the professionals from all around Europe and the globe, and the answer of the public was amazing. Mm-hmm. And it was basically an event. It's kind of half on a party, half a video games event. That's what we've done in September the last year. And I don't know if I'm going to join the next editions of the event, but it's intended to be in, I think, in Canada the next year.
Oh, okay.
But I'm not sure.
Yeah. just with you doing an awful lot of traveling and sort of presenting different things around the world and what have you, how different are the communities in different countries that you've come across?
They are really different. It depends on so many factors. For example, as I said, the games industry in Spain is very influenced by the foundation and the possibilities that we developers have there to know the works of other professionals around the globe. And also there is the idiomatic, the language barrier, which makes everything tougher. So our community, I think we have a very talented people, but the problem is that not always we have the opportunity to have a window to show our work as other developers have. So yeah. And then between the communities, I met part of the community in the United States during GDC this year, and then people from all around the globe, South Africa, France, Denmark, Norway. And I really think that we are very influenced by the money and that possibilities. And it's really different, the perception from community to community based on that. But the general feeling is that we are all or depressed or burn out. That was my general feeling, but we are good people anyway. And yeah, but I have that perception that, like, we have great people in the games industry, but we, and above all women and minorities, we should be more listen, and we should have the same opportunities for progressing and for making our projects.
Yeah. Moving on to how you create games and things, you focus on more of sort of little games that provide sort of meaningful experiences. I'm going to borrow a little bit from a presentation of yours that I found on Itch. So you use games as like a self-care space for both the player and as a creator as well. Looking at creating games as a way of sort of self-expression and meditation about the experiences and worries that you have. And you also provide a little bit of sort of tips for creating self-care spaces. So for example, being yourself, expressing your emotions and feelings, creating kind environments that feel like home, using colours that please your senses, and also using the games themselves whenever they're finished as portable experiences for emergencies. How important are all of these whenever you're actually developing a little game?
I think all of for my work, at least, all of this is really important. As you said, I'm focusing now in researching a little bit more about self-care in digital environments, because I was noticing in like years ago when I was suffering from anxiety in public transportation that it was really important to have some space of your own. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't have this space physically, because due to many, many situations you can have in your personal life. But at least if you have, I think if you don't can have that space physically, but you have somewhere to escape digitally, can be also really therapeutic and useful for your life, for improving your life and your feelings. Mm-hmm. And also, I found this game design conception very therapeutic for me as well. Because when I'm making a game, I can like pour all my feelings and my soul into the stuff I'm doing. So for me, it's kind of to take a medicine, like a pill. Like you can just express yourself and to let it go of some bad feelings or some worries. Yes, making some games, and at the same time, obviously you are not unique in that way, because all of us, we can have the same problems. And also you're helping others expressing these ideas and these problems you have. And you can help at the same time other people just by saying to you, hey, you're not alone. So you can play this game because I suffer the same. So don't worry, because it's just a temporary situation and it will pass. So yeah, I think games in general are a very powerful tool for many things, and I like to explore different ways to use them in our daily lives and to integrate them as a part of our daily lives. Yes.
Your sort of game maker of choice is a little program called Bitsy. I only vaguely know about it. What can you tell me about it?
Well, Bitsy is a tiny engine located on each IO. It's basically a tool where you can make pixel art games, narrative-driven games normally. And with each update, we are having more and more possibilities for making games there. But the thing I like the most about Bitsy is that you can or prototype very fast or making very simple games with powerful messages. Because sometimes, I mean, I believe in a game design that where you have not super complicated experiences, but if you want to give a powerful message to the player, you need to focus on something. And sometimes to have an easier mechanics and to concentrate yourself in the message can be really powerful because the player is kind of seems that message better. And that's what I also been exploring in the last times with my games. I have released three games now about it's called the Abstraction series, and they are Bitsy games about abstract concepts such as intimacy, empathy, and consent, which is the last game I made about that. And the idea is that to make simple experiences with powerful messages.
Yeah. One of the things that I'd noticed about Bitsy was the fact that it uses HTML5 sort of as the back end of it as such. Which means that it's obviously then a lot more compatible with a number of different devices and things. And I suppose that plays into the fact that you like the portable experiences for emergencies and things.
Yeah, I love that as well. HTML5 is super easy language. And also Bitsy, the good thing about Bitsy is that you don't need to have coding skills for making your games. Obviously, if you have coding skills, you can make better games. Well, not better, but at least more complex games.
Yeah.
But if you don't have coding skills, it's not important. And yeah, that's a cool thing about Bitsy, that if you are a programmer, you can find a challenge in Bitsy. But if you are not a programmer and you don't know how to code, it's not like a stressful tool for making games. You can just concentrate on creating, and you don't need to start thinking, oh my god, how I'm going to make this because I don't know how to code, which is something that I suffer as well. I mean, I didn't start making games with Bitsy. I started making games with Construct 2 3 years ago, and the first time I was in front of Construct, it was like, oh my god. Even if you with Construct is another tool that you don't need to have coding skills, but obviously you need to have that mind of how to speak to the computer for the computer making the things you want to do.
Yeah.
It makes. So it was kind of the same, like, oh my god, how I'm going to make this, even if I didn't need coding skills. And with Bitsy, that doesn't happen because it's extremely easy to do. It's like when you are drawing in a piece of paper, it's just the same, that you just need to have the ability for making a story and to have something to say to the world, so nothing else. Just yourself.
Yeah. How long would it take you to make something like Consent or Intimacy, one of those sort of games?
Consent, it took me a little bit longer. Normally, I mean, with the Abstraction series, it took me longer because they are really important games to me. So I didn't want to make them like the rest of my games, that maybe for a jam I don't care a lot. But with those kind of games, I think these kind of games can even change lives, in the sense of some people can play that game and have some thoughts as kind of the responsibility of the game developer. I felt that so hard with the Abstraction series. So Consent, it took me probably 2 weeks, And if you play it, you can see that it's a super simple game. Like, you only need to read texts and to go through the rooms. But even for doing that, I mean, this game is made like that for a reason.
Yeah.
Because sometimes people see that Bits is super simple, and some people tend to think that you make it like that because it's easy, or you don't want to complicate yourself. But I design like that because of a reason, and it's because I think that with consent, in the case of consent, having very little rooms and just read a text where that was more powerful than any other thing to give the message, the important message about consent, which is really important today. Well, it's always important, but I think today the message needs to be remember and remember and remember. So, yeah, but for example, other games like Intimacy or Empathy, it took me probably a little bit less, but still like a week. But the thing, anything I made with consent, it was that I test the game with different people, and I received some feedback from PhD students in universities and from teachers in the UK, in the United States, in Australia. Their answer was amazing, and I was very impressed because I basically tweeted a tweet on Twitter and asking for people for testing my game. And like 1 hour later, I received kind of 20 messages for testing my game. I was like, oh my God. So, yeah. And then it was curious, but with consent, it was the first time that some people questioned me, my abilities as a game designer, which is nothing that happened with other of my games, with any other of my games. And with consent, it was the first time that some people, males, said to me, oh, but that's not a game because you only read text. So that can be a game because you don't do anything else on read games. Oh, this is not a game because you don't need to choose and blah, blah. So yeah, it was the first time, and it was very curious because all my games are like that, more or less. So it was a kind of,
Yeah, I did see one of the comments on one of the HIO pages saying that there was a game in sort of, you know, quotation marks, as if to say, no, it's not really a game. But no, if it's something that you experience and something you're interacting with, then, you know, arguably it is a game, and it is an educational experience.
It is. Yeah, totally. I mean, normally the people that question you if your creations are games, they even don't know what a game is.
Mm-hmm.
So, because normally they are like, I call them the, like, how to say in English, average gamers. It's normally people, if these people are normally average gamers, yes, they play the games they play all, probably always more or less the same genre, and don't look more far than that. And then obviously consent is a sensible concept, so it's something that can hurt some people because if you are not if you don't agree with consent, it's because you are a rapist. So,
yeah,
that's the problem, that I can understand that some people can be really angry with my game, with quotations.
Whenever you're making a game, what is sort of the process? Do you have an idea that you sort of sketch out or whatever first before taking it to Bitsy, or do you sit and play about with Bitsy and then see what comes of that?
I took the two paths, but normally I usually draw my games in my notebook, and sometimes even I write some code and some design details, or I draw sketches. But other times I just said, I'm going to make a game in Bitsy. Just open my browser and start creating. So I try the both paths, but normally it's like the first one. I sit down and to open my notebook and to draw some stuff. I look at other people's work. I look for images, references. Maybe if the game is bigger, I even make mood boards. So, yeah.
Mm. Some of the games that you have up on itch are very personal. There's the one about the fear of flying and going to Italy and what have you by yourself. But then you have fun games like Pet a Shark. And yeah. it's such a wonderful range. Obviously, some of your more personal ones are based on personal experiences as well. But where does the inspiration for some of the other ones come from?
Well, for example, one of the games that I like the most is Hey Dad, mm-hmm. which is a game I made for my dad who is bipolar disorder. The thing is that my dad never played this game because he doesn't speak English. So I only told him because when Hey Dad was released, the game was for 1 week in the best games on itch.io. Mm-hmm. And I was only saying my dad each day, "Hey Dad, we are in the first page on itch.io. We're still there." And he was saying to me, "Yeah, when you became famous, you need to give me some part of the money because it's my it's because of me." So, and this is a very special game because my dad was diagnosed with bipolar disorder like now 13 years ago, more or less. Mm-hmm. And when that happened for my family, it was like a super big trauma because in that time in Spain, nobody accept very well about mental illnesses. And my mom, I remember that she was always questioned by our friends and our family that if my dad was like a crazy, dangerous person, and she was suffering a lot because she was alone. But at the same time, for me, it was really hard because I didn't understand as well what was happening. Mm. It was very difficult to me as a child. And I was kind of being always kind of ashamed because of my dad, because my dad, the first years, he was not controlled by the medical treatment. So he was doing kind of strange things, like he was not like the other dads. Mm. And he, for example, couldn't do many things with me, and for me it was like a big trauma. And then one day 2 years ago when I made Hey Dad, it was because I had a dream, and I was still feeling ashamed because of my dad. And that day I was thinking that I was never going to be ashamed more because of my dad. And I think, he was wonderful the way he was. Mm-hmm. And that even if sometimes he says strange things, I wanted to join him saying strange things. And that's totally okay because he's happy like that. And it's really cool to have something different. And he's such a sensitive, different, amazing person. Mm-hmm. So I made this game just for saying that I was not going to be more ashamed, and that I thought that my mom was very brave for keep the relationship with him despite all of the commentaries around, like, "Oh, you're crazy, you're supporting your husband, which is now with this problem, which is very horrible," and everything was horrible in the mouth of other people. But the thing is that my dad today, he's amazing in health, so, and they are happy, so never happened. He's not a psycho killer, and I'm super proud of him. So that's kind of the game design that I like to tell experiences, and I'm super glad that I can tell these kind of things to other people. Mm-hmm. In, for example, with this game Concrete, I was giving a workshop in Valencia like 3-4 months ago, And a woman approached me and said that she was encouraged for making games because of my game of Hey Dad, because she lived like kind of a similar experience. And that's the thing that made me super happy, that some people even told me that I changed their lives. And it's for me, it's strange. But I mean, sometimes when you play or live experience similar as yours, and to have that with bipolar disorder is very difficult, but happened. Yeah. It's kind of, you feel less alone in the world, and I think that it's super wonderful that games can have this effect, like build bridges mm-hmm. between people and connections, and I love that.
Yeah, it's I've played enough games that I've had an emotional connection with, and it's such a wonderful thing that people have created that experience and have let you experience that as well. And it does feel as if there is an emotional connection between you and the developer, even if they didn't necessarily intend it, but they are letting you into their lives.
Yeah.
With just that little tiny snapshot, and it's such a wonderful thing.
Yeah, I totally love that, and I've been thinking in the last times that that's the kind of game design I like kind of an honest game design, like to bring to people real experiences to improve, to make their lives better, and to make them feel less alone with very delicate problems. And I think it's awesome. Like today we have more tools for people for starting making their own experiences and to bring these voices to the industry.
Mm-hmm. You primarily use itch.io as the platform that you use for releasing games and things. As part of this series of interviews that I'm doing, I was speaking to a producer and a lecturer in game design and games art, who basically tells her students, if you want to make yourself noticed in the games industry, or at least, you know, want to make games, go out and make games. And obviously itch then acts as a really good, almost a portfolio, and an easily accessible portfolio for people to host their games on. As a platform, how do you feel about it?
I personally love itch.io. I think it's a tool for real people, in the sense of it's a tool where everybody can upload their games. And even if they are not perfect, even if they are not the most beautiful games or with the best mechanics, at least you can express yourself and you can choose show others your work. Mm-hmm. And obviously you need to, I mean, when we see game developers or when we go to events such as GDC and something like that, we obviously see the best part of the games industry, but those people also start in some part. And I think itch.io is very cool because you can see new game developers making their very first steps in the games industry. And you see people making mistakes and you see people making horrible games. Mm-hmm. And I think that's to have that vision of the industry is vital, because we tend to make myths and legends of game developers, but also the best game developers in the world and the best companies make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And they also made horrible games. And it's something that we need to keep in mind, because some people get depressed without taking steps in the industry because they think this is not for me, or but I don't know how to code, or I don't know how to draw. And I mean, this is not important. The most important thing for making games is that you have something to tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the rest of the skills will come, and you can improve all the time. And itch.io is wonderful because of that, because you also can receive feedback, and as you said, it's kind of a portfolio, and it's really useful even for looking for jobs. Mm. So it's an awesome tool.
Yeah. I have three quick questions for you.
Okay.
Who or what is your inspiration?
Well, one of my inspirations, I think, is one of my my best friend, who is Rosa Carbo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here in London because of her, because 1 year ago I started looking for people that I admire.
Mm-hmm.
And how to take my first steps, because I was desperate in a job that I hated. And then Rosa, I knew Rosa from before, but we were not friends. We were just mutuals on Twitter, and yeah. So then I saw her, games, I saw what she made, and I thought, I can follow her steps. I can also make this kind of games. I can bring something different to the industry. And I mean, she was my inspiration. She keeps being my inspiration every day, because I love people like her, that she keeps going and fighting and trying to make this industry a better place. Mm-hmm. And yeah, she was my main inspiration for starting this crazy adventure of going to the UK. And then also I have other inspirations such as Anthropy, for example. I really love also Lucy Morris, who is a game developer from Australia. Mm. I have so many inspirations.
Second question then is, do you have a project sitting in your unfinished folder that you really do want to finish?
I have. I have. It's a project that I started making like 5 months ago. I was trying to explore digital archaeology, and now it's in the unfinished folder because I'm busy with other projects, more realistic right now. So, but it's something that I would want to finish soon. But as I don't know if it's going to finish as the way I thought it the first time, probably not, because it's artifacts. Everybody can play it in the prototype in my page in itch.io. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was kind of this game for exploring spaces and abandoned houses and interact with the environment and with the objects.
And lastly, if you could click your fingers and fix one thing within the industry, what would it be?
The gender equality problem, probably. I'm myself looking for a job, and I'm super tired of seeing how people don't trust me because I'm a woman. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's kind of, I know that some people maybe think that it's because I don't have enough experience, but the thing is that it's more probably that a man is going to be hired by a company even if he's not qualified for the position. Mm-hmm. It's more probable than if I send my resume, I'm not going to be hired anyway. So even if I have the qualifications, but companies, if you're a woman, always ask more and more and more and more and more. Mm-hmm. So I think that would be something I would fix if I could.
Definitely. It's something that is a lot of people are becoming a lot more vocal about, and things are changing, but yeah, they're not changing quickly enough.
I think it's also because it's a change in the minds of people. There's not only to have actions for hiring women. It's because society tends to think that women, we need to demonstrate more, and that we need to, in the deep mind, we're still thinking that women don't have the abilities and the capacities the same as men. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the problems. It's very difficult to change that, because for us, for women, it happens the same, that sometimes we think we are not enough valuable for doing that job, and it's not true.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hopefully things will change.
Hopefully.
Thank you, Marina, for coming on and chatting with me. It has been absolutely lovely. How can people get in contact with you?
I have always my DMs open and on my Twitter, which is NymphaGP. And then through my page on itch.io, which is nympha.itch.io. And yeah.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you so much.
If you want to get in contact with the show, you can get us on Twitter at @howtomakeagame. That's the number 2. If you want to get in contact with me personally, I'm at Saintly Stewart on Twitter. And if you want to give us an email with any feedback or anything about the show, you can get us on howtomakeagamecast@gmail.com. Thank you very much, Marina. It has been absolutely lovely. And goodbye.
Thank you so much. Bye.